Hello and welcome everyone to X-Men Cinema. I'm your host Xavier Mustafa, and today we are discussing X-Men 97 Episode 3 entitled Fire Made Flesh. But before we get to the episode, I'm going to let my mutant brother go ahead and introduce himself.
Hello there. It is I, the sensational Devin August here. And how you doing, my brother?
Doing fantastic after watching it. I want to say great episode. It was pretty good. There was a lot going on. Oh my God, there was a lot going on in that episode. But it made me feel like I was watching the 97 series when they're battling the Phoenix. Because we basically got the Phoenix again. But not the
Phoenix. What? Phoenix? Okay. I mean, I get... I see what you mean.
She was putting them mental hands on everybody.
Yeah, but nowhere near like Jean.
That's true, because he was a clone. She wasn't real.
Yeah, like.
Which I'm still confused by it. But maybe.
Well, how are you confused?
We'll talk about
it. You don't remember season two?
Man, from 20,000 years ago?
Okay, sorry.
How do you remember? You were barely here.
Huh?
You were a baby.
I was not born in season two. I was alive, dude, in around season four, season five. Yep, I was alive then, you know, just like the Jordan era, you know what I'm saying? I just missed it.
What a good time it was. All right, let's go ahead and talk about this episode. In episode three, it follows the events of what happened in episode two, which saw Magneto cleared of his crimes and Storm left powerless after a radiation blast from the Executioner. While these were big developments, the most surprising moment came when the team encountered a second green Jean Grey at the door of the X-Mansion. The episode begins filling in the blanks of just where this Jean came from, having escaped from a dark lab and made her way back to her home. Right off the bat, Cyclops is not sure of who to trust. And Beast sets about testing both women's DNA. Surprisingly, Beast finds that the Jean who has just shown up at the X-Mansion is the OG. And the Jean who with Scott has knocked up, has been living with the team for months, is a clone.
Damn, why you say knocked up? They married too, dang.
I mean, but it ain't her. That's crazy. That's wild. That's wild.
Huh?
That's wild. I mean, you done loved up on this girl. You done married her. You done fought Wolverine for her honor. Kind of, sort of. For her honor. She chose you. Y'all make that sweet, sweet love. You get that baby in her, and then you find out she ain't even the real one. That's awkward. That's weird. Where does Scott go after this?
Back to Jean.
To the original? To the OG?
Yeah.
Leave the clone alone?
Shit. My bad, OG. Just transfer the memories, you know, and keep this rolling.
And just think, if you the OG and you come back and you find out that not only did your man leave you.
No, he didn't leave you.
Left you.
He did not leave you.
For a fake.
He didn't know.
Carbon copy of you.
He thought that was
Jean. And knocked her up. And they had to put the baby up for adoption, kind of, sort of.
Yo, he was bogus. Hey, yo, you is bogus. That is not adoption. That's more like...
They gave their baby to time.
No, they didn't. It was more like they gave him to a babysitter. You know, he got to go on vacation. You know what I'm saying? He got to do a little mission, a little Cody Banks. You know, just a mission, you know? It's like that, okay?
That's crazy. I'll be so mad. I wouldn't know what to do. I'd be like, you know what? I guess I gotta marry both of you now.
But
you definitely gotta go polyamorous at that point.
Oh God, yeah, two wives, they same person. But
is that incest?
How is that incest? How is that incest, sir? They are not related. Or is that
masturbation?
What do you mean masturbation? What are you talking about?
Because it's yourself. It's your clone. Okay. So it's either incest or masturbation. Aren't
having sex, if it was a poly, whatever, it would be Scott having sex with Marilyn, and then what, Scott.
One at a time, they wouldn't do nothing together?
Huh?
See, they would be doing it separately?
Yeah, most.
They wouldn't be. I don't know how polyamorous is working. I don't do that stuff.
Yeah.
I'm a wholesome man.
I seen a couple episodes of that Seven Sister Wife or whatever. In health, actually in health class in school, psychologic is we was looking at families and stuff. It was during the family section.
So so most of them they deal one on one.
Yeah, no, the way that their house was set up, each wife had a bed, had a master bed, and he had a sleep schedule of which days he would sleep with this wife, go with the, they were not doing no three way. He had four wives, so they wasn't doing no five ways, no three ways.
Dang, so you're going to sleep with your man every 4 days?
Hey, your bills is paid and you got sisters.
And then what?
And your kids got siblings.
But then What if it's like Aunt Flo is visiting, and then you're like, do you get skipped? Dang, you do get skipped, and then you might not see him for two more cycles.
yo, not you making a Mrs. Tracy joke, and you did two for one right there, both cycles. You
exactly. All right, I don't know how this works, but anyway, going back.
wait, I didn't say my piece yet. So the thing I'm confused about with the whole clone is, when the heck did they switch out? Was it the Dark Phoenix thing, or we thought she was dead, and then the clone was like, hey, no, I'm alive here, or was it like, or was it farther back? Like, did he really marry Madeline and not Jean? Like,
I don't know. I'm so confused. I don't know. That's what I was confused about this episode. I mean, I guess, I don't know.
I mean, that is the only thing that's confusing, though. Literally the only thing. What else is confusing? Nothing.
So Clone Jean does not take this news well. She still believes herself to be the original. Later on, Beast discovers a signature in Clone Jean's DNA that points him directly to the Minister Sinister, as I like to call him, Mr. Sinister. As the second Jean comforts a crying Nathan upstairs, Mr. Sinister's voice comes over the baby monitor, and the villain exerts his control over Clone Jean, who unleashes her own evil powers throughout the expansion. This is where the episode really shines, as the home of the X-Men turns into an absolute horror show. Terror emerges from every corner of the house, twisting and contorting into distorted versions of the character's fears. This includes a vision for Gambit of Rogue and Magneto melting into one another. That looks straight.
That was extra creepy. First of all, that would absolutely break my heart. I don't care if it's a dream. We're done. You was literally melted into another man. No, we done. That's your true feelings. We done.
Clone Jean reveals herself to be the villain known as the Goblin Queen. Before escaping X Mansion with Nathan Summers, the original Jean Grey, meanwhile, is still recovering and has not yet regained control of her telepathy, leaving her hearing far too many thoughts at once. Magneto, Cyclops, Morph, and Bishop head out to confront the Goblin Queen head-on, but find themselves outmatched by her considerable psychic powers. At the same time, Mr. Sinister begins a terrifying procedure on Nathan Summers. Though the other X-Men cannot defeat the, the Phoenix King. Wrong show. The Dark Phoenix. I mean, the Goblin Queen. The original Jean Grey telepathically jumps into hell.
You is violent tonight. Talking about virgins and gays.
Resulting in a visually stunning showdown that is exciting as it is emotional. Jean reminds the Goblin Queen of her humanity, showing her the vision of giving birth to Nathan and reminding her of who she once was. All of this is archived through the visuals that would feel right down, right at home on the pages of Marvel's comics, invoking two-page splash panels in every moment. The segment also includes references to Jean's time on as the Phoenix. After being brought back to reality by Jean, the Goblin Queen helps the team fight off Mr. Sinister and rescue Nathan. However, they are dismayed to learn that whatever it was that Mr. Sinister was doing to Nathan, it is now too late to stop it, and the infected baby is taken back to the X-Mansion. Anyone who is familiar with X-Men lore knows that Nathan Summers eventually grows up to become Cable, a powerful mutant who is usually seen wielding futuristic weaponry, who fights alongside the X-Men after traveling back in time. While Fire Made Flesh does show at the very is the very beginning of Cable's story, where Beast determines that the boy has been infected with a techno-organic virus that is quickly spreading throughout his body. Even rendered in animation, watching a small baby in distress is likely to stir up emotions in people who have kids of their own. At the episode's conclusion, Bishop takes Nathan to an unspecified future where there may be a cure for the virus, and Cyclops and Jean Grey share a sad farewell with their son as they watch him go after wiping his memories so that he will not remember that his mom and dad went out for cigarettes and never came back.
Oh, my.
It's just another example of how X-Men 97's more mature storytelling and maybe the show's acknowledging how much the original audience has grown since the original series. Elsewhere, the second Jean Grey decides to leave the X-Men. Sharing...
Yo, can you call her by her name now? Goodness.
I'm getting that. Sharing her own farewell with the original Jean. In a final nod to the comic readers who will have already seen this coming, the second Jean takes on the name Madeline Pryor. There's no telling where this, whether this is the last audience will have seen of her, but if it was, it would be a satisfying conclusion to her story. In the final beats of the episode, Storm is in a bar where she is approached by Forge, who claims to be a friend of Charles Xavier. He offers to help her get back what she's lost, perhaps promising further developments in the character in a future episode. For now, X-Men 97 has delivered one of his best episodes yet, packed with plenty of great character beats and stellar action sequences.
Yeah, this episode's fine.
So, again, here's Scott. I do. Here's my seed. Oh, no, you're a clone. Oh, I'm going back to my original bear. Bye, clone. Thank you for it. Accepting my seat and having my baby.
And look at that. Wolverine gets no jeans.
Right. They each could have had one. They could have went on double dates, all kind of crazy stuff.
Not double dates. Oh, that. But do you remember this kind of storyline from the original one or no?
I haven't seen the original in so long. There's some things I remember, a lot of things I don't.
So you don't remember this techno virus?
No.
Okay. It was the first time you saw Bishop. Days of Future Past. The first season. It was when Bishop went in to save time, to save Charles Xavier. Blah blah blah. He did that, and then when he went back to his time, things were still bad because of this techno virus. And so he goes back again, you know, tries to, and then we see, that's the first time we see Cable. Cable comes in because he is trying to start the techno virus, because in his future, they need the techno virus to, what's it called? Like when you get a virus and then your body makes antibodies or something, right?
Antibodies.
Yeah. Yeah, so they need that to survive. So he was trying to start the virus and stuff. So that was, you know, one of my favorite group episodes. But I won't spoil it for y'all people. But it totally makes sense with that, and with Nate Summers being Cable, and he needs the virus. And look at him. He was the first person to... Well, he will be the first person to have antibodies. So he's going to live. So, and he's going to come back. So stop disrespecting. All right, stop it.
Hey, I'm just going to, like I said, it took his memories. First of all, it took his memories away.
I've seen so many episodes. What is this man's power? I'm trying to think. What is Cable's power?
If memory serves me right,
it's AIM or something. What is it?
You know what? Hold on a second.
This man always shooting guns. I mean, he got one red eye from his daddy, but he don't be using it.
I am looking it up right now. Cable has both telepathic and telekinetic abilities. He can read minds and move objects simply by using his mind. He can also manipulate the thoughts and bodily functions of others. So he can make you poop. Wow. Even from vast distances. Huh?
So he OP like his mama, but he don't be using it.
If he chooses, he has the ability to disassemble objects or form defensive force fields.
Like, he didn't do that at all in Deadpool, right? He did the force field thing, though, I think. But not no tether. He ain't no breakdown, nothing. Put ish together. So pretty much his powers is like Adam Eve from Invincible. It's pretty much what you're saying, except for flying. I mean, I guess he can fly if he really wants to.
As a baby, he was given to mother Asakni, butchering that name, a time displaced Rachel Summers.
Like, you knew every other name.
Placed Nathan in an incubation crib to preserve his life. She created a clone of him because she believed that he would not survive due to the techno-organic virus which was consuming him. Though both survived, Apocalypse's soldiers attack the clan and manage to capture the clone. She brought Cyclops and Jean's then newly married souls into the future to raise Nathan, inhabiting new bodies cloned from their descendants.
Gotcha.
All right. Anything else you want to say about this episode before we move forward?
No, sir.
All righty. Well, let people know where they can find you on social media.
Delance underscore DA.
And catch me at Xavier Mustafa on Facebook and on Twitter. You can find me. Hold on. Messing up my outro. You can catch this podcast at XM Cinema on Facebook and on Twitter and on Instagram. You can catch Xavier Mustafa on Facebook and on Twitter. Subscribe to this podcast wherever you're listening to this. I'm really messing up today. Today is not my day.
No, me. Virgin gay.
All the links to our socials is in the description. Until next time, make sure you guys take care of yourselves and each other, and may the force be with you.
Because this is the way.